Welcome to Films from the Phantom Zone. I've never said it like that. What's going on? Welcome to Films from the Phantom Zone, your podcast about phantom forgotten comic book movies where we decide does this belong in the Phantom Zone to be forgotten for forever or out and about for everyone to rewatch and remember fondly. My name is Arnaldo. I'm your host and I'm joined by...
I'm Birdo.
You've never said it like that before either. This is a new thing we're doing, you guys.
You hated that.
It's a brand new podcast. This is the first episode. Ooh. If you're a fan of our show, even though we're doing brand new things here, we haven't recorded an episode in a while. It's because I have been busy. I got a new job. Birdo went on a vacation for about a week, and we spent the last four recordings making bonus content for our Patreon. Where's Mephisto, where we were talking about Avatar The Last Airbender on Netflix. So if you love the show and you're sad that you're not getting that many episodes, look, just go over to our Patreon. As low as $3, and there's a ton of more content over there. There's about 50 episodes of Where's Mephisto, plus like four outtakes episodes. Like
it is literally another podcast.
Yeah. And like 20 or so news segments where we do a news segment every time we record. It's our warm up. Our faces are in it. It's a video thing. I'm sure you can just make it audio only also. Anyway, just go over there and check that out. This time we are reviewing what movie, Birdo?
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh yeah. Deadpool's in July, and I thought, well, Deadpool and Wolverine.
I thought it was Asshole and Wolverine.
No, that's just what Hugh Jackman said it was.
I think it's Deadpool and Wolverine.
It's Deadpool and Wolverine.
Or is it Wolverine and Deadpool? Fuck.
We're going to work our way to that. And we're starting here with X-Men Origins Wolverine. So let's get going. Ba-ba-da, this movie is streaming on Disney Plus. So if you want to take a moment, go watch the movie, come back tomorrow and finish listening to this podcast,
it's not a long movie. Less than 2 hours.
Okay, first thing I want to mention, by the way, now that we're doing these movies, is there any other trilogy like this where each movie gets so much better than the last?
Because
I asked my friends that, and like we couldn't really come up with like any other good example.
No, because there's certain trilogies where I do like the movies better as they go, but it's not a quality reason. It's like like what's in the other movie more.
Yeah, I've heard things like Lord of the Rings. It's like, well, the last one's the best. It's like, okay, sure, but they're all great, you know?
Right. Or like, like an exponential difference in quality between the movies.
I also heard like The Hobbit, which is like, okay, that's not saying that much because those movies are all kind of just okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, this is like a once in a lifetime thing where like you have a trilogy where the first movie is, spoilers, it's horrible. This is not a good movie. The second one is pretty good. And the third one is phenomenal. Like, that has never happened, and it probably never will happen, because the thing would have gotten canceled by then, right?
They're also all three completely different movies, like, in structure and everything.
Yeah, that too. But I like that, though.
Like, none of them are similar to each other in any way.
Yeah, because I have a friend who was like, well, this isn't a trilogy. And I'm like, well, it's three movies about the same character, isn't it? Like, that is a trilogy.
The box set says it's a trilogy.
Yeah. And he's like, well, they're too different. I'm like, oh, yeah, but, like, so? You know, like, a trilogy doesn't need to be, like, there's a cliffhanger at the end of one episode and they resolve it in the next one.
Right. It doesn't need to be one continuous story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really like this idea. Like, looking at the Wolverine movies as a whole, it's just a character study, right? That at, like, early in his life, somewhere in the middle, and then late in his life. And I know that might be, like, a lot. Like, I might be being generous to this movie, because it's not very good, but like, just, you know, as a whole, like, and like, generally speaking, I like that concept.
Yeah. Even Hugh Jackman said that he wanted this movie to deepen the Wolverine character.
Hugh Jackman said a lot of flowery things about this movie just because he's a producer on it.
He did end up saying he was unhappy with the final result of this movie.
Okay. But, I'm going to get to it in a second, but like, everyone pretty much ended up getting what they wanted. And I think that's pretty rare in Hollywood where like, you have this, you know, really kind of big idea for a movie. It doesn't work out, and you still get to do it later.
Yeah.
I think it only happens because
you're
Wolverine
talking about Ryan Reynolds, aren't you?
Well, him too, but I was talking about... No, I'm talking about Wolverine, okay. Because... we'll get to it, but, like, he wanted to go to Japan, and he got to do that.
Oh.
The director wanted... Or, no, the writer wanted it to be R-rated, and, like, he wasn't involved, but they ended up doing that. you know, apparently both times, this and then the next movie, The Wolverine, they wanted it to be R-rated and they didn't get it. And then they got it for Logan.
Yeah.
Philly, I'm kind of ignoring what you're saying.
Philly said a lot, actually, so you might have to scroll up.
Okay. Wolverine 2 sucks, man. No, you know what? It's not, like, the best. It's kind of middling, but, like, it's way better than this. Like, way better. Logan is overrated. No, it's not. Logan is so good. Logan is what Joker wishes it was.
I can agree with that.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's definitely the formula. The first half of this movie is actually very good. Oh,
I do agree with that.
I'm glad you said that because that is just covered all over my notes about how the first half of this movie is.
The first half's actually genuinely good, yes.
Okay.
And then it becomes a video game plot where it's like, oh, I need to go to the next boss fight.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's a mini boss, but now he's joining me.
Yeah. Oh, the mini boss is now a playable character, and he's not as good anymore.
Yeah, when you play as him, he sucks.
That's exactly what this is. Anyway, let's get going. Background. Let's do Sabretooth. Because, by the way, obviously we did X-Men 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Different titles. Like about 2 years ago, right? And in that, we did talk about Wolverine a bit and his debut in 1975. And I think it was like all new, all bigger or something.
It was X-Men. When we talked about the first X-Men movie, right?
Yeah.
All right. So a little comic book, little rectangle here. It says... For information on Wolverine, see X-Men.
Yeah. True. So let's move on with Sabretooth. First appeared in Iron Fist number 14 in August of 1977.
Yeah, he was an Iron Fist villain.
That's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Created by Chris Claremont and John Byrne. Those were the X-Men writers at the time. It's August 77 is crazy. Like, that was months after Star Wars came out. Like, that's such a long time ago.
Yeah. That is so long ago.
Iron Fist 14, the original portrayal of Sabretooth was that of a non-powered serial killer, but later was written as a mutant possessing bestial superhuman abilities, most notably a rapid healing factor, razor-sharp fangs and claws, and superhuman senses. He's a vicious assassin who was responsible for numerous deaths throughout history, both as a paid mercenary and for his personal pleasure.
So he had a little bit of bloodlust going on, I guess.
Hell yeah. Often a Wolverine villain, right?
Yeah.
Accounts on his enmity. I've never heard of that word before.
Enmity.
Anyway, on how his enmity with Wolverine originated differs depending on different writers. One of the most common accounts is that Wolverine and Sabretooth were both participants of the Cold War Super Soldier Program Weapon X, and that Sabretooth saw Wolverine as competition and therefore antagonizes him. While Wolverine is depicted as suppressing his more savage qualities, Sabretooth does the opposite and embraces them. Until the events of 2014 storyline access. New stuff, not important.
And I think when he was like the serial killer in Iron Fist, when he first appeared, he was just called the Slasher.
Oh, was he really?
He was just a killer. Like,
Character has made several appearances in X-Men media in live action, portrayed by Tyler Mane in the 2000 film X-Men.
Who is somehow supposed to be the same character that we see in this movie.
Put a pin in that, but like I can almost see it.
It's weird.
He just has short hair in this.
And white eyes. He has white eyes in the...
Oh, I guess you're right.
He's more of an animal in X-Men.
Yeah, I kind of like him better in X-Men, if I'm honest.
I think his character is more interesting in this one, but...
Yeah, it's like fleshed out.
But yeah, as far as like appearance goes, yeah, he's a lot better in X-Men, yeah.
And by Liev Schreiber in the film X-Men Origins Wolverine, that's this one. In 2009, Sabretooth was ranked as IGN's 44th greatest comic book villain of all time.
Of all time?
Yeah. They did like 150 or something like that, and they listed them all.
I wonder what that list would look like today.
It's a good question. Probably mostly the same,
I feel. In a post-MCU world.
Thanos probably bumped up a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think Joker was number one. Anyway, do you got anything else on Sabretooth?
He was originally envisioned, like when he was created, to be Wolverine's father. But this never never actually came to be in the comics. So there was intent there at first, though, to make that happen.
That's interesting. What's also interesting is that they are not brothers. That is only in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought they pulled that from the comic somewhere. Nope.
Here's the thing. That's something that this movie did that I actually kind of liked.
Well, see, I believed it. Like, entire time, I'm like, it's plausible, right? Like,
especially since their powers are almost the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway, Silver Fox.
I don't have anything on her.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay, well, I was going to pass this to you, but I guess I'll just spin my wheels here. Also created by Chris Claremont in Wolverine number 2, sorry, volume 2, number 10, in August of 1989. And this movie is named Kayla, which might be her regular name. I don't know. Silver Fox is a member of the First Nation Blackfoot Confederacy. That sounds like a Canadian thing, right?
It sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, it's what First Nations are the natives in Philly? Canada, right? Yeah, Philly. Help us out. In early to late 1900s, she lived with Wolverine as his lover in Canada. She was allegedly murdered by Sabretooth on Wolverine's birthday. That's
messed up.
Awful.
Yeah.
But is later revealed to be alive and a member of Team X, the most formidable covert ops team the CIA had to offer. Silver Fox eventually betrays Team X and becomes a member of Hydra, a subversive terrorist organization. Yeah, we all know what Hydra is.
They're kind of Nazis, but not 100% Nazis.
It's
complicated, it's not.
It's Nazi adjacent.
Because it's like, in some...
It's Nazi-like.
In some iterations, they infiltrate the Nazis to get their funding and stuff. Kind of like how they end up infiltrating S.H.I.E.L.D. at some point. Right. So it's like, I mean, they're basically Nazis, though.
Yeah.
That's what we associate them with.
Yeah, yeah. They're Nazis. Silver Fox reappears during the modern period when Wolverine tracks down each member of the Weapon X staff, discovering that the studios where many of his memories, which he believes to be real, were staged. That's a fun comic book thing that they, like, staged his memories. Like the ones that the ones that he still has, those are fake too.
That's messed up.
It's fucked up, yeah. it's like what they try to do with Captain America and at the end of the first movie, before Avengers.
Kind of.
They're like, hey, like you're not really.
I think they're trying to. It was their own fucked up way of trying to ease him into it, but also it's like, come on, his first impression is that you guys are lying to him.
Yeah,
that's not good.
That was not good, yeah. Allegedly, she kills the professor who had been in charge of the program after Logan left. At this point, it's revealed that Silver Fox is in command of a section of Hydra. Her powers are healing ability.
Oh.
Cool.
She doesn't have the power to persuade people?
I guess not. I think that's. I looked through her Wikipedia. Again, I'm not an expert in this,
mm-hmm.
but that's all I could find.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that might be original to this movie. You don't want a fourth person who has a healing ability in this movie. That'd be too many. Right?
Would it be a fourth? Let's see. We got... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Deadpool. Wolverine.
Sabretooth.
Sabretooth. We don't know if this Wade Wilson already had a healing ability or
not. No, apparently not. That's one of... We'll get to it. But yeah. That's one of the major changes. Philly says that... Do you want to say that word? We're offending people. Don't even. Blackfoot Confederacy is a tribal council for the Blackfoot Nations of the Kainai Blood Tribe. Great.
Siksika?
So the Confederacy had been established to bring four nations together to deal with common issues. The
that
Declaration of
Confederacy.
Siksika. Or Blackfoot Confederacy for us colonists. Was signed in Lethbridge on the 25th of May, 2000.
Oh, wow.
Very cool. Thank you for that little insight into Canadian
history. Do you like this
movie
because it takes place mostly in Canada?
Yeah, how do you feel about that? I don't think any of it was filmed in Canada. Actually, I think it was.
I think some of it might have been. I know a lot of it was filmed in Australia.
It makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Anyway, a little background on this movie. Philly says he doesn't give a fuck. Look, our resident Canadian doesn't give a shit about this. So this movie, a little background on this, is written by David Benioff.
Benioff. Yeah. He was one of the co-creators of the Game of Thrones show.
Game of Thrones, that's right.
And he got a lot of shit for that last season, and his co-creator.
Okay. But then they make like five great seasons or four
based
great
on
seasons.
The works of George R.R. Martin.
There's a lot more than just like...
No, it was when it passed the books, right. The quality like dipped.
Yeah, but they were also... See, a lot of theories with that. I didn't watch all of Game of Thrones. I saw a few episodes here and there. But one of the fun theories is like, they were already like signed to do Star Wars.
They were.
And so it was like,
so
get
they were
the
rushing
show
to
done.
Finish, and then they didn't even get to make their Star Wars
No, because
movie.
They did a bad job. Anyway, so written by him, David Benioff.
He also guest stars a lot in, or once or twice, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and has directed a couple of the episodes.
I know. Well, I saw he's written a few episodes of.
Yeah, I think he's like friends with them.
Okay, that makes sense. But he's been in it, like as an actor.
Yeah,
oh, that's fun.
He was in the water park episode. I don't know if you've seen that one. The gang goes to the water park.
I may have. So anyway, written by him, rewritten by Skip Woods, and then rewritten again by James Vanderbilt and Scott Silver.
Ooh, that's a lot of rewrites.
So that,
no wonder this movie was messy.
Yeah, pretty much. So what I was saying earlier is that everyone had their own kind of agenda with this film, and some of them eventually came to fruition. Hugh Jackman wanted to send Wolverine to Japan, which he often does in the comics. Chris Claremont had him going to Japan all the time.
Yeah.
Like a lot of his history.
And he was probably like, this will be really cool.
Yeah. They do that in the next movie, right? And then Benioff wanted a darker and a bit more brutal story.
He wanted the R-rated one. Yeah.
He wanted an R-rated one. And, you know, they ended up doing that also in Logan, even though I'm pretty sure he's not involved.
I don't think he had anything to do with it, but he was busy with Game of Thrones at the time.
Right. But there's this idea, and I've always believed it, that because this movie came out during the writer's strike of 2007 to 2008, or I guess right after that.
It was kind of like in the aftermath of the strike.
You're right. But there's always this kind of idea that, like, this movie's a product of the strike, that they didn't have writers. The producers came in. They did whatever they wanted. And apparently none of that, that's not true.
I mean, there were issues with production, though.
Oh, sure. And if you have information.
I have a few.
But what ended up happening is that they saw the strike was coming, right? They knew it. And they quickly hired James Vanderbilt and Scott Silver to quickly rewrite the movie before the strike, where they wouldn't be able to do it anymore. So the strike,
it was a rush job.
Yeah. So the strike didn't directly affect the film, but it kind of indirectly affected it, and that they were like rushing to get it written before the strike so they could film during the strike.
Well, apparently the screenplay wasn't even completed yet when they started filming.
Okay. So maybe there's mixed things.
Let's see. The director said something. He said the screenplay was still incomplete as filming begun, with the production Australia receiving new script pages from L.A. usually the night before shooting.
Great. Okay. Well, there you go. Berto's giving us some depressing facts about this.
Yeah. And I guess the director, Gavin Hood, he did have a big fight with the Fox executives. And one of the disputes involved the depiction of Wolverine as an army veteran with PTSD. The executives did not want that.
Why not? That's good.
They argued that audiences would not be interested in such heavy themes.
Fuck off, man. Studio executives are so dumb.
And apparently they already had two replacement directors lined up before Richard Donner had to step in and ease the tension.
Richard Donner was involved in this?
Yeah.
Wow. I watched the DVD special features.
Oh, I always saw them on because this movie would constantly be on FX.
That's right, on DVD on TV.
And what they did was they would show the special features instead of like a commercial break.
No, in addition to the commercial breaks.
It'd be a commercial. Oh, wait, because it'd be like a four-hour like thing.
The movie would last forever. We talked about this like way back on episode 3 when we talked about LXG, because I never finished the movie because it took too long. And the problem with that, and I appreciated DVD on TV. No,
it was cool.
And I love special features. That's what's missing in today's.
It's like, I don't want to watch it during the movie.
The pacing is just like way off. And I don't have 4 hours to commit to a mediocre film because that's what ended up on FX's DVD on TV.
Yeah. Because it usually wasn't good movies.
No.
It was whatever they could just show,
whatever they could muster on the day.
This was one of them.
Yeah.
This, LXG, The Incredible Hulk was on there a lot.
It was. It was like the same 10 movies, dude.
They would just rotate through.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so I have seen the special features of this movie probably more than I've seen the movie.
Correct. But so what's hilarious about special features in general is that like everyone is just pretending everything went perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Like all the time. And so you see Gavin Hood just like praising the film.
Oh, yeah. And the folks at Fox have been incredible.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman's just like really selling it because that's his job. Mm. Ryan Reynolds is selling it.
Ryan Reynolds hates this movie.
This other producer was selling it, but some takeaways from those. All of Deadpool's lines were ad-libbed. He had no lines in the script.
His lines are pretty good.
Another fantastic, because Ryan Reynolds is great.
And the response was just, shut up, Wade.
Yeah, but and I'm like, the first we're going to get to the plot, but like the first chunk of the movie with Ryan Reynolds in it, all his stuff is fantastic.
We see the whole, is it the X team?
I don't know, the Weapon X
Weapon
team,
X
I guess.
Team, whatever they were called.
I don't know if they have a name.
All of them, except for Will.i.am, are pretty good.
Oh yeah, Will.i.am's in this movie. But no, Ryan Reynolds is like he's a comedic genius. Like, he's really, really talented. Mm. He's great at ad-libbing. There was a concern that like he wouldn't be able to do that for Deadpool 3 because of the writer strike, but luckily the actor strike coincided and stopped him from filming anything.
Thank God.
Thank God. We would have got another one of these. But I mean, he's immensely talented, and like, you watch the first chunk of the movie with Deadpool in it, and you're like, this is the same exact Deadpool. Like, he's been committed to this character for literally over 20 years now, with very little to show for it. He's been in two movies in this.
Ryan Reynolds was trying to get a Deadpool movie going in 2003.
Yeah. That's when he discovered the character, because someone had pointed out that in a Deadpool comic, they referenced him. Because... And it's not a coincidence. Like, the character of Deadpool basically is Ryan Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Whether that was intentional or not, probably not. But I mean, at some point, the writers realized by watching Ryan Reynolds movies, they're like, hey, that's Deadpool. And so they put it in the comic. At some point, someone asks Deadpool what he looks like under the mask. And you remember, his face is all fucked up.
Yeah.
And he says something between Ryan Reynolds and a Shar Pei. This is like that dog with like the really scrunchy face.
Yeah.
Right. And someone shows that to Ryan Reynolds, and that's how he discovers Deadpool. And he's like, this is me.
I'm doing this.
I'm destined to be this character, and it will happen. They had been trying to get a Deadpool movie going since 2003, and as far as they got was getting him involved in this movie.
And then ruining his character.
Right. They did the same thing with Gambit. Gambit was on and off going to be its own movie.
Yep.
And the best he could get was getting him in this movie.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was still up in the air whether or not he was going to get his own movie.
That's when, Channing Tatum was in the talks. Yeah.
Channing Tatum was attached for a long time. Mm-hmm. For like a decade. Nothing came out of
it. Yeah.
But I've got some quotes here from...
the special features?
Special features, yeah. Gavin Hood says at one point, this is about origins. So Deadpool is not ever going to come to complete fruition as the fans know him in the comic books.
Which is okay, but this is origins. So we changed Deadpool's character is what I'm seeing.
What they're saying is, this is origins. So we're not going to give you the character that you want, but maybe next time. That's what they're saying, which is... I fucking hate that.
What does that mean?
Like, I'm trying to remember what movie did that kind of semi-recently where I was like, stop teasing us with what we want. Give us what we want. Don't be like, oh, next time you're actually going to get the character that you wanted, you know?
Madam Web?
Nah, it wasn't Madam Web. Was
there pussyfooting around any mention of Spider-Man?
That is true, though. A producer named Lauren Shuler Donner. Oh, she's probably related to Richard Donner isn't she?
I think that's, yeah. That's his wife.
Anyway.
Yeah.
She said... Deadpool has a very cool uniform. She's the one that's really spinning the wheels here, by the way.
She has to.
Yeah. Deadpool has a very cool uniform. His head is red and he's got black diamonds here, pointing at his eyes. Since we bring him in the middle of his being operated on, we couldn't put him in a uniform. He's just wearing his operating pajamas and nothing on top. And he's got a bit of red here. But later in the fight, the black starts to come out. So we're saying, we know he's supposed to have those diamonds. He is that character, and here he is.
The diamonds aren't the character.
That's the least important bit.
How about the fact that he doesn't have a fucking mouth?
He's literally called Mark. And what's funny is when Ryan Reynolds is being interviewed, he keeps on mentioning, he's like, yeah, he's Merc with the mouth. He dropped that five times. Merc with the mouth, Merc with the mouth. He's not in this movie, is he?
He is at the beginning.
A little bit. Gavin Hood said, we were looking for this mutant that would come through as more powerful than Wolverine. Yes, we deliberately took Deadpool and gave him certain things and attributes that has never been seen in the comics. Good. We hope we surprised you a little.
No, you pissed me off.
Dude, man, takes that age like milk.
And the thing is, I feel like a lot of this is all right, you really have to sell this movie.
It's damage control. They already knew.
Oh, another kind of depressing fact. Did you know that this movie actually leaked before it actually came out?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
So, a full-length DVD quality work print of the film without a time code or watermark, with some unfinished effect shots and a different typeface for titles and casting, and alternate sound effects was leaked online. The studio said it would be able to determine the source of the leak using forensic marks in the work print. But it leaked, I think, a few days before the movie came out.
Oh, wow.
And then
Roger Friedman, a freelance gossip blogger for Fox News, a channel also owned by Fox's parent company, News Corporation.
Why would they let him do that then?
He was fired for writing a review of the film using the leaked unfinished copy, which he downloaded from the internet. He described how easy it was to find and download the film, even if the original source of the leak was no longer on the web.
Okay. Hold on a sec. God, look. I don't have to sit here and say how dumb Fox News commentators are, but when you press play on this thing that you stole, right, and it shows 20th Century Fox first thing, and you should go, I work for that company.
Maybe I can, you know, get a legit copy.
Maybe I'm breaking like an NDA the law, and I shouldn't be reviewing it. Holy shit. No, but I love this quote from Lauren Shuler Donner when she's like...
The diamonds?
But she's like, well, like, we couldn't put him in a uniform. He's in his operating pajamas. It's like, she's acting like she was forced to do it this way. And she, like, they didn't write this from whole cloth. You know what I mean? Like, no one forced you to be put in this scenario where you had to completely rewrite one of Marvel's most popular characters.
Even at the time, he was popular.
Even at the time, he had a huge following.
It was more of a cult following at the time, but still.
Like, no one had a gun to your head and be like, all right, well, you know, he's got to be in his pajamas. And he got to sew his mouth shut.
Why did we have to sew his mouth shut? And Stryker was annoyed with him?
And you know, hey, we heard you like katanas. Well, we put katanas in his arms.
Yeah, also... But also, it's kind of like Wolverine because they retract.
Oh, God. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get into the bulk of this episode.
Poor Wade.
Yeah. Plot. Northwest Territories, Canada, 1845. A teen named Victor watches over his sick friend, James. James's father. There's a lot of, just warning, a lot of so-and-so's father. There's two guys.
Anyway. We have an ad break in 45 seconds.
I don't care. James' father tries sending him home when Victor's father shows up and shoots James' father. Witnessing his father's murder, James screams and a set of bone claws comes out of his fists and he stabs Victor's father before he can tell James he's actually his father.
Whoa.
I know. Drama. Victor is happy James killed his father and says they need to stick together as brothers. In a montage, the two brothers grow up, fighting in the American Civil War as Union soldiers, where both are constantly shot but continue to survive. They're next seen fighting in the trenches of World War I and at the invasion of Normandy during World War II. James becomes worried about Victor's lust for blood and raping. Did you notice that part?
I did. I did Ooh. Not when I was younger.
No. Which gets him into trouble when he kills a senior officer. They're both arrested and are met by a young Major William Stryker.
Oh, not Reverend.
No. This version of him seems a little less reverendy.
Yeah.
Than Brian Cox. Apparently, Brian Cox wanted to reprise the role.
How would that have worked, though?
He wanted to rely on CGI de-aging like they did in X-Men 3, which looked bad.
And right.
Maybe he forgot that. And you can't do it for a whole movie.
No, we weren't able to do that for a whole movie till like Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel did it, yeah. And did it pretty well, honestly. He looks good whole movie.
Throughout the movie, it's...
And so does Clark.
It's not super... Clark Gregg, too.
Clark Gregg.
Agent Phil Coulson. Yeah, no, this version of Stryker is very kind of horrible all around.
Yeah. Here's what kind of threw me. Are we sure they're brothers? And by that, I mean... Yeah, they have similar mutations, and like what we talked about, this they're not brothers in the comics, and yada yada.
Right.
But did you notice that they cast a man who looks just like Hugh Jackman to play his father?
Yeah, and it's maybe that's a red herring.
I guess. I want to know who that man is.
Why do we need a red herring and a plot twist in the first scene of the movie?
But you caught that, right? Like he looks strikingly like
it looks
Hugh Jackman.
Like an Australian man.
He looks a lot like him. And the other guy kind of looks like Liev Schreiber, too. Like, maybe the casting choices shouldn't have been that deliberate.
I feel like maybe they should have shared a mother rather than a father. But I guess the X gene comes from the father.
Oh, I guess you're right.
So I guess that's the only, like, lore-wise, that's the only way that would make sense.
Anyway, here's something I do really like, though. The opening montage.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty good.
That's pretty smart.
This whole beginning of the movie I do like overall. Yeah. I think it's
it sets up something that could have been very
interesting. Yeah, we alluded to this earlier. It doesn't get bad until like halfway through.
I think it's bad. Would halfway through be after the betrayal?
We'll find exactly when it turns. But yeah,
when I'm like, I'm losing interest.
Yeah. The first half is not that bad. I'm just going to go out and say it. Like, it's actually, there's parts that I'm like, oh, this is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most interesting part of the movie, is the fact that, like, Wolverine, and later on, and by later on, I mean previously, as in, like, an X-Men and X-Men 2 and stuff, you know, it kind of hints at, like, he's just destined to be a fighter. And then that's it. Like, he can't have a normal life. He's just a fighter.
There's no peace for him.
Yeah, they're right. And so this, I think this montage works really well. That just to kind of show that, yeah, like, yeah, they're old. They're 150 years old, and they've fought in every war because that's all they know how to do is be soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing is, though, in the next movie, shows that he was present during atomic bombings of Nagasaki.
Oh, yeah. Because we do see that
Hiroshima,
in the Wolverine.
Yeah. But in this, he's over at D-Day. So that means
they're
within,
far enough apart. In
they're
time
a year apart.
Yeah. So it's maybe he died at D-Day.
Yeah.
And then
re-enlisted and got sent to the Pacific to the other side of the fucking planet.
Maybe I could definitely see him getting shot in the head or something at D-Day, and then like just falling down. Like, oh shit. And he was like, you know what? I really want to fight in this war.
Yeah. Anyway. The brothers caught Stryker's attention by surviving their firing squad and are given an opportunity to join a special team where James goes by the alias Logan. On a jet, we meet their new teammates with whom they've already shared some adventures with. Wade Wilson is a smart-talking katana swordsman. John Wraith, a teleporter. That's Will.i.am. And by the way, when I finished writing this, I forgot his name, so I just call him Will.i.am for the rest of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Fred Dukes, a tough guy with an impenetrable layer of skin. Agent Zero, a super accurate sniper. And Bradley, who flies a jet with his mind.
His powers were electric-based, though, right?
He is electrokinetic.
Okay.
Yeah, so he can control electricity with his mind.
Okay.
Including the jet.
I guess the jet, the elevator, all that, yeah.
I was going to go on a whole thing about how do they even come up with these names. Like, Thomas Logan is Logan's dad, Victor Creed, and then James Howlett is his dad.
James Howlett is Wolverine.
Is who Wolverine is, yeah. So it's just like, how do they come up with their name? None of it makes too much sense.
Also, in the montage, they're fighting in the Civil War, right? What side were they fighting on?
Union.
Okay.
Yeah, they're wearing blue.
Okay, I'm trying to remember. I'm like, wait, were they on
were they Confederates?
Which side of history were they on?
Yeah.
Because
that's why I mentioned
it would have been really interesting if they were on the Confederate side. I would have been like, oh, okay.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they probably don't care.
No, they probably don't.
Just fight.
They have no stake in it.
Yeah, they just fight. Now, they were wearing blue, though.
Okay.
I remember the Union wore blue and the Confederates wore gray.
Red.
Gray.
I thought it was like
gray.
I'm picturing like a red stripe, though.
They wore gray coats.
What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
I think of the British.
The British wore red, yeah. The red coats.
Fuck.
Anyway, they go to Lagos.
Is it Lagos or Lagos?
Lagos, thank you. Like, there's another pronunciation I'm not doing. They go to Lagos, where the team infiltrate a heavily guarded compound. Agent Zero snipes dozens of soldiers with just two handguns, never missing. Fred uses his fist to plug a tank, and it explodes while Victor climbs through the outside of the building. The rest of the team ride in an elevator, while Wade annoys everyone by talking excessively. The doors open to a room full of Nigerians shooting at them. Wade uses his katanas to deflect the hundreds of bullets like a Jedi.
It's pretty cool looking, actually.
I think it's kind of silly. And the team converge onto the leader, a diamond cartel boss. Major Stryker admits they're not there for the diamonds, but a black ore the boss has on his desk as decor. Their search for more leads them to a village where Stryker commands a team to start murdering the villagers who consider the meteorite sacred. Logan stops Victor and the others from killing innocent people and quits the team, but Victor refuses to go on with him.
All right, so I like the showcase of like everybody's powers and stuff. I thought that was pretty cool.
I have a big problem with like the action in this movie. I think it's pretty poor. And like,
I can agree with that.
It's very over the top video gamey. Like, Agent Zero, like, okay, like,
Agent Zero wasn't a huge fan. Like, what is his power? Is he super accurate?
He's super accurate. Because
he also jumps very high.
Yeah, I think that stuff is silly. I think there's better ways of executing all of these characters.
I think Blob was pretty well done.
I think that's honestly. Fine, yeah. But like Agent Zero should have gone in like John Wick, but just never missing. But he should have been like tactile. He didn't need to be doing flips and shit. And
that was a little weird.
Yeah. I think that's where
I wasn't sure
me.
What his
yeah.
power was. Like all the others, like you can figure out what they do. Except for like Wade Wilson, it's like he seems almost like super soldiery.
Right, but like when he starts doing his like katana thing, like it makes it look like he's super fast and he's blocking every single bullet.
I think
and
he does
like
have like
high
reflexes.
Yeah, but not to that extent. Like those are Jedi reflexes we're watching. But like my thing with Deadpool is like Deadpool has the best healing factor, so he cares the least. Right?
Right.
And he may not feel pain. That's the other thing. So like he just goes in a fight and he doesn't care if he gets sliced into a million pieces because he's gonna survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's very kind of blunt.
This
not
Deadpool
caring
isn't really like that though,
and he's not over like he's skilled, but he's not overly skilled. Like he's not flashy.
No, his strength is that he doesn't care.
He did, yeah. Right. He'll just heal, and also he knows he's a character, so that's part of it. And like we didn't really get this with this version.
No, because this isn't Deadpool.
Yeah, like you didn't need to make him look flashy and badass.
This
is
like
saying.
Cool mercenary.
Yeah,
that's all he really is.
And when he cuts the bullet in half, it's like, all right, I just think that's silly.
One thing when they were talking to the villagers and like Wade was translating, this might be me looking too much into it and maybe giving this movie too much credit, but like we know at this point, like this team, like they're not like good guys,
mm-hmm.
but like Wade does like a weird little smile when like Stryker's telling him to like translate. It almost seemed like Wade like mistranslated on purpose to get everybody killed. Because when he's like, I'm going to ask him one more time, where is it? And Wade like kind of like smiles a little bit, and then he looks at Stryker and goes, he just said it was sacred.
So there was a part there where I also thought, are they making Wade
like it
more
seemed
kind of
sinister?
Yeah, than he should be, because that's not really what his deal is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not all the way a bad guy.
No.
You know, he's kind of like the epitome of an anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was weird, because I was like, did he do that on purpose?
No, I didn't catch that, but I did kind of catch his enthusiasm for, like, killing all those people.
Right, because, like, everybody seemed excited about it except for, like, Wolverine and Bradley.
Yeah, Bradley's like, fuck this, man. 6 years later, in the Canadian Rockies, Logan lives on a cabin with his new love interest, Kayla, and works as a logger. Meanwhile, Bradley is working in a carnival sideshow where he challenges customers to turn on a light bulb while he keeps it shining with his mind. That night, he's visited by Victor in his trailer full of light bulbs, and Victor kills him. James wakes up screaming and his bone claws extended, scaring Kayla for only a moment. She's known him long enough to learn about his powers and his past, all a 150-plus years of it. 3 days later, Stryker and Agent Zero find Logan and tell him both Wade Wilson and Bradley have been murdered. Someone might be killing their team one at a time.
We already talked about the scene where Victor kills Bradley?
I just did just now.
Oh, okay.
Were you not listening?
No, I mean like the actual scene, though.
Yeah, he goes to his trailer and he kills him.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Dominic okay. Monaghan, who we're doing for Keeper Cancel, by the way.
We did just say that. Holy shit.
I was like, I literally just read it just now, dude. I like that scene, though. I like his character a lot. We're going to talk about him on Keeper Cancel. It's only a shame that he's barely in this movie.
He is barely.
Along with Ryan Reynolds.
Also, barely.
And I should mention from that last scene, Ryan Reynolds is perfect. He is absolutely perfect in this, obviously, as Deadpool. Even the little things when Stryker says something kitschy and dumb to him, and behind his back he salutes and then kind of waves him off. Like, all of that is just fantastic.
The mannerisms are really good.
Yeah. Logan and Kayla drive to a bridge where two men are stopped and won't let them pass for some reason. Logan almost fights these rude Canadians. Then that night, Kayla tells Logan about the moon and its spirit lover.
Is it Kaokuatsu?
Yeah. I kind of glanced through this. Yeah. This scene. She tells him a whole fancy folklore story, right?
Yeah. And then,
is any of that true, by the way? Did you?
I don't know if the folklore story is true. No.
Philly, was that one of your bedtime stories in Canada?
Yeah, Kaokuatsu?
It probably has some truth to it, right? At the very least, it probably does mean Wolverine.
Maybe. I don't know.
He said no.
I feel like these are the same people that, like, these writers are the same people that thought a Wolverine was like a wolf.
That's like a little badger-looking thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Hugh Jackman thought a Wolverine was like a wolf.
I think we all did at some point in our lives, to be for real. This movie's setting up some prequelitis, and I want to talk about it a little bit later.
Okay.
Anyway. later, Kayla is on her way to school when she encounters Victor Creed. Nearby, Logan smells Victor and runs to find his truck scratched and Kayla dead.
I like how truck scratched is worth mentioning.
I don't know, man. I was just typing this out.
He scratched his truck, man.
Okay. I don't know if this is intentional, but this scenery here is very similar to where Logan ends up dying in the movie Logan.
Does he go to Canada in Logan?
No, it's just kind of in the woods, but like, okay. I don't know. It looked very similar. And so like, you know, for the most part, we talked about this. All three of these movies are kind of separate in a lot of ways. But I wouldn't be entirely surprised if at least, because Logan is a very good movie, that they kind of went back and, you know, tried to kind of make this better in retrospect and kind of be like, hey, like, this is where he kind of his first tragedy, right? Like, what if we kind of used some of that scenery?
Yeah.
But maybe not. Maybe I'm making that up. So.
Philly said apparently the story of Kyoko Watsu is a real legend.
Oh, good.
It's a Cree myth. Cree, not like the aliens.
With a C. Cree, yes. As in a nation of people. Okay.
Not with a K.
Victor has a drink in a nearby saloon as he waits for Logan to inevitably find him. Logan screams, "Why?" And the two brothers charge at each other. They fight until Victor wins, reminds Logan that regular people like his dead girlfriend are nothing like them, and snaps off one set of bone claws.
Ew.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal. Logan is taken to the hospital, though he's already healed. Stryker is there to offer him some help in finding and defeating Victor. Action scenes aside, I really like the line that Victor says to the bartender.
Oh, right when Logan shows up?
He goes, "You got insurance in this bar?" And he's like, "What?" And he's like, "Nah, that's too bad." Because here's the thing. That's actually a pretty well written line, because when you got a villain in a bar like that, he's probably going to kill the bartender.
Right.
For no reason, just because he's evil. And this guy's like, Victor's like, "It's not that I want to hurt you. It's that like, I'm about to have a gnarly fight in this place, and you should probably have insurance." And I really like that scene.
It is weird that Victor didn't kill the bartender, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
This character, though. Like, he's...
You know, again, it's
got so much blood.
This movie is a tale of two halves. Like, the first half is kind of good.
Yeah.
But like I said, I love this line here.
The second half drops off
tremendously. Yes. And here's the thing. We did research on how this movie was written. And I know movies are not filmed sequentially and they're not written sequentially. And that's not how it works. But there's a point in this film where it feels like all the writers just put their pens down and picked up picket signs, and the rest are just kind of hobbled together, right? And like, we know that's not how it happened, but it's what it feels like.
It does feel like it, yeah. At the end of this fight, though, when Victor throws Logan into the truck that's driving by, the truck just keeps going. It doesn't even stop.
I don't give a shit, do they?
Like, a man just got thrown into your windshield, and you're just like, oh.
These are Canadian truck drivers. They got places to go. Blake's takes is here. He thinks this is the first X-Men movie he ever watched.
He probably watched on FX.
Probably. DVD on TV. Colonel Stryker takes Logan to a secret facility where he plans
on... He might have been promoted.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
6 years have gone by. Yeah. It's now the early 80s.
If he didn't get promoted, I'd be concerned.
Right. We're in the 80s now, people. Colonel Stryker takes Logan to a secret facility where he plans on surgically grafting his skeleton with a metal compound they developed from the meteorite they found, adamantium. Logan requests his dog tags read Wolverine. The procedure on Weapon X is witnessed by U.S. generals as Stryker admits that anesthesia won't work on Logan and that he would have to volunteer. Put a pin in that one, by the way.
Yeah, hang on.
Logan briefly flatlines before his heartbeat returns. Astonished, Stryker commands his scientist to extract his DNA for Weapon 11 and to wipe his memory. Put a pin in that. Logan hears this and thrashes his way out of the surgical tub. I'm sorry, I didn't know what else to call it. Agent Zero shoots him right in the forehead, and the bullet bounces off his adamantium skull. Completely in the nude... Logan fights his way out of the room and jumps down the waterfall near the compound's dam. Nudity Minute is back, you guys.
Oh, yeah. He's totally naked.
I think you see a little bit of penis in that.
In this PG-13 movie?
I think you do. If you look close enough, you see a lot of his butt.
Whoa.
And at one point in the making of this movie, they thought it was going to be rated R. So, like, props for them, like, filming him nude in this fight scene. It's not as ballsy as, say, like, oh, shit, what's that movie with Viggo Mortensen? Eastern Lord of the Promise. Rings. No, Eastern Promises. You ever seen that movie?
No.
I'm pretty sure it's Eastern Promises. If it's not, it's the other one. Viggo Mortensen, he's like a gangster, sort of. He's like a Russian gangster, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, he has this whole fight scene completely naked.
Oh.
Like, the whole thing. And it's just, it's flopping. And it's hard to watch, but it's like, you know, you sit there and you kind of appreciate that they did this, right?
Right.
Like, that's not easy to do.
That's effort. Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck were Stryker's motives? Because he created the perfect mutant, basically.
And then he's,
and
like,
toss him. Dump it.
I don't know why all this. This is where the writing starts to, like, drop.
It does, yeah.
Actually, this is where the whole movie starts to drop. Like, right this after he escapes.
This is the first bump, I think. Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
No, there's one more part I like. And then after that, it drops.
The farm?
Yeah, I like that. I like the first chunk of it. We'll get to it.
I like a little bit of it, okay. But yeah, no, this is...
But why does he give up on Wolverine so quickly? He wants a person he can control and graft with adamantium, and here's Wolverine, and he's like, no, fuck him, they'll just kill him, we'll start over. Like, you did an incredible thing.
Yeah, and also, it's already done. You just made him, like, indestructible.
Yeah. So why are you, suddenly you're just like, fuck it. That doesn't make any sense, you know? His motivations are nonsense.
I don't know why he did this.
Like, you've got Final Form Wolverine standing in front of you, like, and you're not even going to try. Like, it's not like, hey, like, you know, tranquilize him, and then maybe we kind of talk him into it or whatever. It's like, fuck it, kill him.
I'm going to put all of you into Wade.
Yeah. Buck Naked Logan runs into a farmer's barn who seems to recognize the good in Logan and welcomes him to their home. I really like the line, by the way, he says here.
Oh, he's like, are you on drugs?
No, the woman's like, I think there's a naked man in our barn. The guy's like, I think so too. Also, great touch here though. Their truck has a bumper sticker that says, not all who wander are lost.
Mm.
It was a quote from Gandalf the Grey, right?
I think so, yeah.
As that happens, you've got fucking Logan in the background wandering naked.
And lost.
And lost, yeah. That's a good touch. I like that. Getting dressed in the bathroom, Logan examines his new adamantium claws for the first time in what is widely regarded as one of the worst CGI shots in a comic book movie. The old couple show him hospitality for the first time in his life. The old man offers Logan wise words, saying he has a choice ahead of him and doesn't have to seek out revenge, and gives him his son's jacket, which is also tailored to his body. The old lady brings out some breakfast when she is sniped right in the chest.
Yeah, so... This part's fine, them killing the couple and all that. Like, that's still good story stuff. When the helicopter shows up, I'm out.
Yep, yeah. That's it's the exact part where it starts falling is this action scene that follows.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the old couple.
Yeah.
I like that they gave him his icon. This
also feels very similar to something that happened in Logan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. But, you know, I like what it's setting up. He can't, you know, this is a character who can't live a normal life. And if he does, people are going to get hurt.
Yep.
Now he's responsible for that. Like, these deaths are on his conscience. These are very nice people that showed him hospitality.
Yep.
They give him his iconic clothing and motorcycle.
His iconic leather jacket. Yeah. Yes.
This is very Solo. And I think it's hilarious that, like, people hate on Solo and don't realize when other movies do it. But, like...
This movie's not a good example to use, though.
The old couple are just handing him all his iconic things, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
Hey, like, he wasn't wearing clothes like this before. And suddenly, they're like, hey, my son, who's kind of like this farmer with, like, a big old belt buckle, wear his clothes. And suddenly, that informs his stylistic choices because then he loses his memories, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you want to take my motorcycle for a ride? Oh, it's kind of yours now because I'm going to get shot in the fucking chest, right?
So. Yeah, it sucks that the old couple got done dirty like this, because they were basically just like a plot device for Logan. But
maybe spend more time with the couple. Maybe we should have learned more about them.
Right.
Before we unceremoniously murder them,
it could have been done better. But yeah, no. When the helicopter shows up and that action scene, that's where this movie starts to, like, it falls off a cliff. Quality wise.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm not going to entertain what Philly is saying in the chat, which is that Logan is a worse version of this movie.
That's insane to me that you think that.
It is absolutely insane. Again,
insane.
Said this earlier, but Logan is what Joker wishes it was. Okay. Honey Badger is here. Hey, man. And he says his son is named Logan.
His son is named Logan.
Amazing.
He loves Wolverine.
The next bullets hit the old man before Logan has any time to react. Agent Zero calls in their helicopter and Humvees to strike on the barn. As missiles hit, Wolverine rides out of the explosion on the old man's motorcycle.
Hell yeah.
I mean, sure, but also, like, it's the classic. And you can tell, earlier when we were talking about the people who rewrote this movie, they all write all of the same fucking action movies. It's all the bad ones where people are walking away from explosions and shit.
Yep, there's a whole song making fun of that.
Yeah, what song?
Cool Guys Don't Look at Explosions.
Who's that by?
I feel like it's Lonely Island.
I was about to say, that sounds like a Lonely Island song. Anyway, in a chase, he destroys...
It's a Lonely Island,
okay,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. In a chase, he destroys the Humvees with his claws at high speeds and eventually launches himself into the air to take down the helicopter. That scene, by the way, was in the trailer, and it's what made me not want to see this movie. I ended up seeing it like a few years later. Using the helicopter's radio, he tells Stryker he's going after Victor and him next. Agent Zero, stuck and injured in the helicopter, patronizes him. Logan strikes the trail of gasoline leaking from the helicopter so that it explodes just as he's walking away.
And he doesn't even look at it.
Not even a little bit. Back at the base, Stryker's scientist presents him with a gun with adamantium bullets, possibly the only thing that could kill Wolverine now.
Or just give him a headache.
I was about to say, put a pin in that too, because there's so many plot devices that they like take back.
They're like, oh, doesn't work.
They had this whole scene where he's like, oh, this is the only thing that's going to kill Logan. And then later on, they have a scene where they're like, this gun will not kill Logan, but it will erase his memories.
So, bam.
What?
Oh, Honey Badger mentioned that this game was one of the best. It should be noted that the video game based on this movie is one of the few movie-based video games that is better than the movie.
Oh, that's easy to believe, yeah.
And
for
it's
sure.
Also the video game reviewed very well. Like,
really?
It was genuinely a good video game.
We should play it. You should play it, actually. I'm sure you have access to it.
I own it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I have it on Xbox 360.
Speaking of which, there's a Wolverine game coming out, and I'm kind of excited for that.
Yeah. The whole game got leaked online, but...
Oh, did you see any of it?
No.
Okay.
But there are spoilers, on like, story-wise and stuff. Like, it's an incomplete version of the game, but right. It's still the whole game.
Well, isn't it by,
Insomniac.
Insomniac, the Spider-Man people.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta finish that. I'm, like, halfway through.
If you can find a way to play this game, I do recommend it, because it's actually very good. If you do, though, you have to play the version called the Uncaged version, because that's the version that people like. That was a version that was on the Xbox 360, PC, and I believe PS3.
Interesting.
The other versions are like a crappy port of the game.
Right. Logan heads for Las Vegas to find Will.i.am and Fred Dukes. Again, this is the part where I stop caring and Will.i.am.
John Rafe.
Again, he's in this fucking movie, right? And this is like his only acting role.
He's in this movie way too much, too, honestly.
I think it's one of those where he just wanted to be an actor and like, you know.
He said specifically he wanted to be in a movie where he had the same powers as Nightcrawler.
Well, there you go. And, you know what? Okay, but here's the thing. He's not a good actor, but I like that his character is doing teleporting. I like that we have a teleporter.
And I like his character's style.
Yeah.
I like the little cowboy thing he's got going on. It's kind of cool looking.
Yeah. He's got that Darius Rucker thing going on.
Yeah. Except it's Will.i.am.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
He asks Will.i.am about Victor, and he tells him both he and Fred quit the team and work at the boxing gym. Fred gained an incredible amount of weight, but may know more about Victor's whereabouts. Logan accidentally insults Fred when he mishears Bub for Blob and punches him clear across the gym. Will.i.am suggests a boxing match for answers.
Here's our first boss fight.
Yeah.
Actually, second boss fight. We had a boss fight with Agent Zero.
Oh, yeah. You're right. This does get video gamey.
This is a second boss fight.
Yeah. During the fight, Logan can't quite hurt the Blob through his impenetrable skin, but eventually headbutts him. Fred tells him that Victor is working with Stryker, despite the lies Stryker sold Logan earlier. They work together to kidnap mutants and take them to an island, and that a New Orleans gambler named Remy LeBeau, a.k.a. Gambit, may know more. Meanwhile, Victor kidnaps a high schooler named Scott Summers, who was in detention for his refusal to take off his red sunglasses.
That's a weird reason to get detention, but okay.
Yeah. I'm assuming this is not the first day of school, so how is his teacher not notice that he always wears these sunglasses?
Unless his mutation just happened. Yeah.
And he just found the...
Because it happens around puberty, right?
...solution for it. Yeah, I mean, this guy looks like he's 20. by the way.
Which brings me to ask the question, does it make sense that he's even in this movie?
It does, because this movie takes place in the early 80s. X-Men takes place in the early 2000s.
Okay.
Which means if he's 18 or 17, let's say, maybe he's a senior or junior even, then by X-Men, he'd be in his mid to late 30s, which sounds about right.
It, I guess he's, I feel he's like not it adds a student up. Of the... He's not a student of the professors in the movies. He's kind of a...
He's a teacher.
Teacher.
Yeah, he's one of the adults. He's an X-Men.
Yeah, he's a shitty teacher, but...
What does he teach?
I don't even know. Does he teach any... Does Cyclops do anything of any importance in any of these movies?
No, they... You know what?
And they did him dirty.
I know in like the cartoon and in the comics, like he's an important character. He's the leader of the X-Men.
The movies kind of make him a joke.
Kind of, yeah. So we're getting to the part of the movie where it just feels like they're including as many Easter eggs as they can.
Right? Yeah. All right, here's Scott Summers. You know him.
He didn't need to be in this movie at all,
No, he didn't. But they give his powers to Deadpool for some reason.
Right.
And it's like, oh, you guys like Gambit, right? He's going to be in this movie too.
Yeah. At least Gambit has more to do than...
He has more to do, but his role could be replaced with literally any character.
That's true.
He doesn't do anything unique.
Could have been Storm. Like, he's like, been anybody.
I'm going to take you to this island.
Okay.
I'm not even going to use my powers to do it.
Right. Right. It doesn't even have to be like a mutant. It could have just been anybody. Logan and Will.i.am go to New Orleans and find Gambit at a poker table. When Gambit either mistakes Logan for Victor or recognizes Logan as one of his former captors, he supercharges his deck of cards and attacks. I say that because I didn't quite understand why Gambit gets mad at him. Did he think he was Victor or did he
thought he was
reckon...
working with them?
But because he's like, oh, dog tags. And he's like, oh, you're the one that kidnapped me. Did Logan actually kidnap him?
Oh, I think he said the people that took me also had dog tags. I think he's just making associations.
All right, well. The explosion sends Logan through a wall and super conveniently into the alley where Victor is currently murdering Will.i.am.
Oh, yeah. So there goes Will.i.am.
Wolverine and Sabretooth re-engage in another fight until Gambit somehow ran off to get a huge running start from another building's rooftop, uses a staff as a helicopter.
I had a question about this because was Gambit not just knocked out 2 seconds ago?
Correct.
In an alley?
No, where they were.
Where? How is he on the roof now?
Well, no, not only that, because you see him get a running start, which means he had to go to the opposite end of that building, climb that building so he could get the running start.
All in like 30 seconds.
It's really bad editing, okay? That's what's got. Because here's the thing. You didn't need him elbowing him because then it makes Gambit look like a joke, you know?
I already think Gambit is a joke, but... That's what just about, me. I just don't like
who's
Gambit.
Who's your friend who loves Gambit?
Arculus. He loves Gambit. He's
God, I wish he
right
was
now.
Here.
Yeah.
God.
He would have so many facts for us.
Run off to get a huge running start from another building's rooftop, uses his staff as a helicopter, and then superhero lands onto the ground, charging it and the two brothers apart.
This is the mini boss fight I was talking about.
Yeah, sure. Sabretooth runs off and Wolverine fights Gambit. During their fight, Gambit uses his staff to scale a building. That's not a superpower of his, by the way.
No.
And Wolverine starts shredding a fire escape into dust and looking like Pac-Man eating dots in the process.
Waka, 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 waka.
Right? If you haven't seen this scene, go on YouTube and watch it. It's awful. Finally, Logan convinces Gambit to work with him to kill Sabretooth and Colonel Stryker. Also, like, they redo the gag... From the first, where he gives him the middle finger through the claw.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no contextual reason why he would do that in here, though. You know, like, in the other one, he's like, oh, I kind of hate you, middle finger. And this, he's just like, I don't know, I beat the shit out of you, middle finger. Like, there's no...
Fuck you, Gambit.
Like, there's no setup for it. Like, it's just like, they're just cashing in on a better joke from a better movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's keep going. Stryker stares at his son, Jason, who is frozen in a tube along with other mutants. His army general colleague gives him the I'm shutting you down speech after learning that his telepathic son murdered his wife.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, we knew that from the
Yeah, we knew that
X2.
From X2.
The,
and
much,
then,
the better movie.
Is the kid still in X3?
No.
No? Okay. I thought for some reason I'm thinking that's the kid that they get the cure from, but that's a different kid.
No, it's a random kid.
Yeah, okay.
It's an actual innocent child, so you feel bad for him.
Right.
Yeah, Jason's like an adult. Like, he's in like his 30s. In X2.
Yeah, you're right.
And so that it adds up.
Now that
this.
I'm thinking about it, you're right.
Stryker stresses the importance of controlling the mutant outbreak with preemptive strikes. and that though Weapon X was a disaster, Weapon 11, his ultimate project, will be perfect. Again, no clear motivations for this. Then he says something about protecting America from threats, both foreign and domestic, and stabs the general.
Domestic violence.
Do bad guys just fill for time until they can think of the perfect one-liner for a good backstabbing? Because he goes...
Maybe.
He's talking a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's talking more than Wade.
And then he's like, oh, wait, right now. And domestic. And then stabs him.
And the guy's like, oh, this is such a shocking revelation.
Gambit and Wolverine fly to Three Mile Island and its nuclear power plant, the location of Stryker's lab and prison. Logan sneaks in and encounters Stryker. Stryker reveals his evil plan, that he needed Deadpool to collect all the best mutant powers and combine them into a host he could control, Deadpool. He reveals that his dead lover, Kayla, is alive and an undercover agent for him. She has the power to influence anyone she touches, which makes her a perfect seductress, but she grew to actually care for Logan. She claims that she never used his powers on him, but went along with her mission as leverage to save her sister, who was one of Stryker's prisoners. Logan has had enough and inexplicably decides to walk away, despite the fact that nothing has changed.
And Stryker lets him leave. He's like, all right, see ya.
Yeah, bye. Stryker and Victor are still doing evil shit. The prisoners are still captive. Seriously, why is Logan walking away? Probably so that Victor can attack Kayla for real this time, and then Wolverine can bust in dramatically.
But also, like, why did they let him walk away? Wasn't the whole point they were trying to, like...
They want him...
Gone.
Dead.
Like, they want him dead or mind wiped. But he's like, fuck this, I'm walking away. And they're like, all right,
why,
see you,
though?
See you, Logan.
Yeah, bye. We'll see you in the next scene. But why, though? Like,
It doesn't make sense.
He's just like, oh, I hate all this news I'm getting, so I'm just going to leave now.
That's very Wolverine of him. I'm really mad, bub.
It's just like I think you should leave season 3 sketch where if he starts losing an argument, he just goes on his phone. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, it's like they told him a bunch of shit he didn't want to hear. So he's like, I'm done.
I'm leaving, man. I'm out. He doesn't even say anything. He just turns around and walks away. Philly says it was necessary to the plot. It's not, because he comes back a scene later.
Well, the whole plan would have worked if Sabretooth didn't attack her.
God.
So stupid.
Anyway. So again, Victor attacks Kayla, and Wolverine bursts in dramatically. Wolverine strikes the worst pose I've ever seen before finally beating Sabretooth. Kayla apologizes, and they agree to save her sister and the other prisoners. Stryker orders Weapon 11, a.k.a. Deadpool, to be activated. Wolverine releases all the prisoners in one stroke because his claws are lightsabers when the writing calls for them to be lightsabers. He just runs and he's just like, choo, choo, choo. They lead the prisoners to the exit but are stopped by Deadpool. Wade Wilson appears in front of them, his mouth sewn shut, his eyes scarred, his head shaved, his body marked, and his skeleton grafted with adamantium, with his signature katanas retracting from his arms.
And then the real Deadpool showed up and killed him.
That's actually true. That does happen in Deadpool 2, doesn't it? So a couple things here. Number one, Kayla's sister is, for all intents and purposes in this movie, as far as this movie is concerned, Emma Frost.
Until she isn't.
Until a few movies later, they're like, nah, she's not Emma Frost. And so...
She just has a similar mutation, I guess.
Yeah, because they wanted to use her for something else. So
they wanted to use her in First Class.
Philly says, who are weapons 1 through 9?
Unclear.
Unclear. They're all dead, I guess.
I guess failed experiments?
Just Agent Zero, I guess, is weapon...
Zero?
One. Why would you start with zero? I don't know. So,
weapon zero?
Yeah.
He doesn't even have a weapon.
Yeah. A couple other things. Where do the katanas go, like, anatomically? Because, like, Wolverine's claws fit into his forearms. They're forearm length.
Mm-hmm.
So they just kind of, like, sit.
A katana there. Does not fit in your arm.
No, because then you couldn't bend your elbows.
Unless it's, like, so it's all condensed, like, right here, and then it goes out a little bit.
Like a ladder?
And then, yeah.
Mm.
Maybe.
But it's not.
But that's not how it looks. It looks like one long blade, right?
Yeah. This is stupid. They fold up like an origami bird, says Philly. Yeah. I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
Anyway. Kayla leads the prisoners away while Logan must fight Deadpool controlled by Stryker's keyboard strokes.
Decapitate.
It's the 80s, so I guess.
I like how he just types decapitate.
Like as slowly as he can.
And then he's like, okay.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like Deadpool's doing backflips and he's like, D-E-C-A-P. I do.
It's like, you know this is happening in real time, right?
It's just crazy, like, the technology that they have because the plot demands it. But, like, also, like, it's the 80s. So, like, okay. Anyway, Logan quickly learns that Deadpool has his healing abilities while the prisoners are led by not Emma Frost, Scott Summers, and a creepy voice in Scott's mind. Kayla stays behind, giving absolutely no reason why, but is clearly injured.
Are you calling Xavier creepy?
Well, for a minute, I couldn't tell who it was because he's just like, go left. And who said that?
And he's like, all right, let's go left.
And you don't find out till like three scenes later that it's Xavier. Oh, but yeah. Anyway, Wolverine leads Deadpool to the top of the nuclear reactor's smokestack. Why? It doesn't matter because Deadpool can also teleport like Will.i.am. Wolverine is suddenly outmatched and almost falls over, but is saved by Victor.
This was stupid, too.
Okay, so here's the thing. One of my biggest pet peeves in movies or TV is when you've got multiple characters having a conversation in a room, right? And then just at the right moment, a new character shows up, walks into the door, and finishes someone's sentences. Because where were you the whole time that you knew the context of the conversation? Were you just like hiding there and waiting for your perfect time to like come and say the thing, you know?
Huh.
And so like this reminds me of that. I will give it a pass because Sabretooth can run up buildings really quickly. And we know that. We've seen it happen.
Yeah. But also, why did he save him? Was he not just trying to kill? The reason is, I'm the only one that kills you.
Yeah. Like,
that's dumb.
You know, look, this is not a good movie. However, I like the idea that Victor is just, he's conflicted. He's kind of...
I think he just got pissy with Stryker, so he's like, I'm switching sides.
Yeah. I think, like, he doesn't... Like, he wants to kill a bunch of people, but he's not quite sure who he wants to kill the most. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he'll fight his... And they, you know, they do kind of seem brotherly in a way. Like, he'll fight his brother to the death. But then he'll change his mind and be like, actually, I kind of like you. You know?
It's so weird.
Yeah. Weapon one was Captain America. Oh, my God. I'm not reading it.
Weapon one being Captain America. I can see that. Everything comes back to the Super Soldier program.
Yeah. It's one of the best retcons in Marvel. It's the Super Soldier program.
It's like, actually, the reason why all these other heroes have powers, we're trying to recreate Captain America.
Right. Captain America was like, also, like, he wasn't frozen until, because, like, so much time had passed.
Yeah, they're like, it doesn't make sense to have him this young still.
Let's retcon that he was frozen.
Yeah.
So, and then everything else was born out of that. Victor agrees to help Logan take down Deadpool because no one gets to kill him but him.
All right.
They fight Deadpool until Wolverine slices his head off. But because of Scott's laser beam powers, Deadpool's spinning, falling laser beam head destroys the entire structure.
I did think this was kind of funny looking.
It was a little bit funny, yeah. Victor, like, it's not supposed to be funny, but it was a little bit funny.
How are the lasers still shooting out of his eye if it's not attached to a body?
Well, you know the whole thing about, like, Scott, they're not lasers.
His eyes are like portals to like another dimension, yeah. And
so stupid.
The blast coming out of it is just like energy from there.
Just shut up, you nerd. Like, they're lasers. Like, I hate that explanation.
Why are his eyes portals? Can you go through these portals?
That's a dumb. I've seen a lot of jokes about like other characters being like, what if their powers are just portals to other universes?
Everyone's, you know, power.
I mean? Yeah, like, what if, like, Wolverine's claws are just portals to, like, the Claw universe? Oh, God. Anyway. Victor leaves. Wolverine jumps down, and Gambit saves him from a falling concrete wall. Gambit goes after the prisoners to help them, but only witnesses them being saved by someone more competent, Professor Charles Xavier, who takes this vulnerable opportunity to brainwash a new class of students.
Hey, join me. I'm way better than Magneto.
I love that. Like, you're capitalizing on like a horrible time right now.
Yeah, like, you're like, oh, while we're here,
come with me. Like, that's the only reason you showed up today. Like, they were fine without you.
You're recruiting.
The worst CGI in this movie isn't those claws, by the way. It's these kids looking like video game characters running towards Xavier's helicopter. And if you didn't notice, go back and please look at it.
Xavier's walking, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Does this
add up? Well, I think the whole like bullet to the spine is also like a movie thing from First Class. I'm not sure if that's in the comic.
Right. But This is only like 20 years before X-Men, though.
Yes.
I guess something could have happened at 20 years, but I feel like he would already be in the wheelchair at that point.
Yeah, and like, look, the X-Men universe has a lot of continuity errors, but like, for the most part, you can write it off as like, there are branching timelines.
Right.
And so...
And like, that's why the recasting happened.
Yeah. And so like, to your point about Scott Summers, yeah, he's in high school in the early 80s, and then in the branch timeline, he's in high school in the 90s.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Don't think about it too much, I guess.
It's just a little odd.
And like, there are some other characters who like traverse timelines also, like
Angel.
Angel's one of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nightcrawler also, I think. He shows up a lot earlier in the new timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Jean Grey's all over the place. Obviously, the Phoenix stuff happens at a different time. Different characters are played by different actors.
There's a point where like the
Colossus is Russian. It
basically becomes a new universe, which kind of happens in universe after Days of Future Past.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like the branch timeline allowed for all these things to happen, I guess.
Right. But like even before that, though, it felt really messy in these movies.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked when we did X-Men and X2, we talked about all the characters that then were like recast for the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Including like Colossus. I think he's on his third actor now or something. I don't know.
I think the Deadpool movies are the only ones where they kept the same guy playing him.
Yeah. Wolverine tries saving Kayla, but Stryker arrives to shoot him with adamantium bullets. Earlier, Stryker had explained to the audience, I mean his scientist, that if he shoots Wolverine in the head with an adamantium bullet, his brain would still heal, but he would lose his memories. After shooting Logan in the head, Stryker is stopped by Kayla, who grabs him by the ankles and tells him to go for a long walk. She doesn't kill him because he has to show up in X2. Logan wakes up with no memory of what happened. He reads his dog tags that say Logan/Wolverine and doesn't believe Gambit when he says they're friends. Also, Kayla's dead. He seems to sort of recognize her, though, maybe.
So she tells him, walk until your feet bleed and then keep walking. Aren't they on a 3 mile island?
Oh, that's actually true. I mean,
the fuck do they find him?
He took a bridge.
Was there a bridge?
There has to be a bridge. This is in Philadelphia. How do cars get there? There's a bridge.
Seems like there was a lot of flying involved with getting there.
Well, yeah, sure. I just, like, I understand that, like, you can't kill the character off because he's in something else, but it's also, like, that's, like, the dumbest thing she could have done.
Yeah, just keep walking. And
just why don't you walk a lot until you get uncomfortable? How about that?
And
how
then
about,
keep walking after you're uncomfortable.
How about that's your punishment? Like, you could have, like, done a... First of all, you should have killed him. And if you can't kill him, then she shouldn't have been put in that situation.
Right. That's the prequelitis you were talking about.
No, it was mostly about, like, the jacket and the fucking motorcycle and all that shit.
This is a little bit of that, too, where it's like, oh, we have a character. He can't die yet.
Then you shouldn't put him in a situation where he can be killed, then. He should have ran away with dignity, is all I'm saying. Anyway.
Also, he shot Logan, like, 5 times in the head.
There are 2 distinct mechanisms for Logan losing his memories. And it's so funny, because, like, that is, like, one of the clear distinctions that this movie was written by multiple people. Right? Because like earlier in the movie, they're like, oh, just wipe his memory. And then that upset Logan. And so he came out and he started, you know, flipping.
That would upset me too.
Obviously. Which means that they wrote in some.
How are they going to wipe his memory though?
They have like some technology, right?
Oh, yeah.
But then later on, he's like, you know what'll do it? An adamantium bullet. That'll wipe his memories. It's like, you don't know that. And also like the movie came up with 2 different ways of wiping his memory and just like kind of picked one. Like, you know, I don't want to say it's lazy writing. It's lazy rewriting where you're not even covering your tracks that you rewrote this film, you know?
Right. And it does very much feel like a film that was written over.
Yeah. Because you like, left all the
like,
evidence.
It's like there was already a movie here. You did something to it. I don't know what you did to it, but it's not great.
Again, like there was another scene where they're like, oh, no, the adamantium bullets, that'll kill Wolverine. Okay. Scene later is like he's telling a different character. It won't kill him. But it'll wipe his memories. A bullet. Like that's, and this thing is like, even from like a science, I don't want to get scientific, but like, you didn't test this. Like, you don't know what effect it's going to have on him.
How many people with adamantium skeletons have you shot in the skull to test
like,
this?
What? You don't know that. Ugh. Why the fuck didn't they give adamantium bullets to Agent Zero? That's a really good question.
Yeah,
Philly.
He could have got Logan down right
from
there.
From the beginning. I guess he was dead, but like, given to him earlier.
Well, yeah, when you sent him to stop him.
Yeah. It's like right after that we developed the gun.
And
okay.
Then, you know, maybe we didn't have to snipe 2 innocent farmers.
In a mid-credits scene, Stryker is walking for a very long time until the army catches up to him to until the army catches up to arrest him for the murder of the general. I guess he gets away with it. I don't. Anyway, in a post-credits scene, Deadpool's still alive and his mouth is now open.
And he goes, shh.
I just love that they tease the thing that everybody wants. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
don't worry, he has those diamonds.
Yeah.
We did the diamonds, guys. Yeah,
that's what I want. I want to be threatened with a thing that I wanted in the first place. Deadpool is coming later, you guys. Don't worry.
And the only reason that movie's going to release is because the test footage got leaked and people liked it.
So Gavin Hood announced that multiple secret endings exist for the film, and that ending will differ from print to print of the film. One version shows Wolverine drinking at a Japanese bar.
Oh, so the canon ending.
Sure, yeah. The bartender asks if he is drinking to forget, to which Logan replies that he's drinking to remember.
Whoa.
That would actually sounds kind of good. The other ending shows Weapon 11 in the rubble of the destroyed tower trying to touch his severed head. That's
which is
what
the
we
one
saw.
That we see, yeah. Was that, did that other scene ever actually make it?
I don't know. It's probably on YouTube.
Oh, probably. Maybe it's like a deleted scene, and maybe it wasn't some like prints like at the theaters.
Well, that's what you're saying. Like, it does exist. Like, some people saw it.
Okay.
So stupid.
That's silly, but.
The mid-credits scene, the one where he's just like, he gets caught for the murder. Like, why? Like, that's the one that doesn't need to be in the movie at all.
Yeah, and all they say is for questioning, though, so I guess.
Well, because we know he gets away with it.
Yeah.
Because he's in the fucking X2 and he's a colonel still.
Yeah.
But so it's like, why even bother? Just to show that he actually walked until his shoes burned off?
It was payoff.
That's not, the thing is like, all right, this movie's like 2 hours or whatever. Like, that's not the thing you needed to show, you know?
No, it's not.
I don't know. Anyway, that's the movie, you guys.
What happened to Gambit?
He was like, oh, yeah, they're going.
He's like, oh, they're good. Okay, I guess I'm out.
They're getting in that helicopter with a stranger I don't know. So my job's done. All in a day's work for Gambit, you guys. Let's go back to New Orleans.
I'm going to go gamble some more.
Anyway, analysis. Let's get going. Story. Look, I think this movie starts out fairly strong, actually. I don't think it's great, even the first half. But I think there's some really good ideas.
It's an interesting premise.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm okay with prequels, even with the prequelitis. Like, I don't mind those things. I like the idea of exploring an origin of a character. We didn't mention it, but like we talked about it on like X2 or X-Men 3 or whatever. But they were going to do several of these films. X-Men Origin was supposed to be a series. They're going to do Wolverine. They were going to do Magneto to start.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those Magneto movie ideas ended up turning into First Class.
Okay.
So, like, we still got them. But, I, you know, like, especially, like I said earlier, when you look at the trilogy of these films, it is worth looking at, like, this character at the beginning of his life, the middle, and then the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how the trilogy plays as a whole, mostly because the second and third movies are much better.
Right.
But, yeah, the first half of this story is, like, way better.
Yeah. It's incredible, like, the quality difference.
Yeah. I would really like to see how the entire movie plays out if it was just the first chunk. Mm. If it was all like the first chunk, you know what I mean?
I'm curious how much of that was the original writer.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Because I don't know who wrote what, but yeah. We just know that, you know, I think...
you've seen Game of Thrones. It's definitely the first chunk.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what Benioff was trying to do might have ended up pretty good if we had just stuck to that. But... And we said it. You can tell this was rewritten because there's still elements of the original movie in there that get, like, buried.
Oh, yeah. There's evidence.
Or just forgotten about. Yeah, it's... Ugh. So I guess story overall is just not good, but it's...
It's rewritten, but not reread. Let's put it that way.
Was there supposed to be an origins for Xavier also?
I think officially they had only planned out these first two.
Okay.
And then they were going to see where it went. But then they ended up doing the prequel.
Yeah, it was probably the better move, honestly. So, acting. I think the acting's pretty okay. My only issue is Will.i.am.
Will.i.am. Yeah, he's bad.
Everyone else does a pretty good job, honestly.
Everyone else is okay. Yeah. Taylor Kitsch is kind of not great.
I think he just doesn't have a lot to do.
I think you're
like
right.
Like I said, he didn't need to be in this movie.
Yeah, but Hugh Jackman is very strong. He's a strong actor. Mm-hmm. I was, again, watching the behind the scenes, like, he has given this movie his fucking all. He really wanted this to be successful. And I'm very happy that they got to retry this a few times.
A few times.
And it just gets better every time. Uh-huh. But, like, you know, he's giving it 110% and it's super clear. And same with Ryan Reynolds. Like,
no, but yeah.
It's not his fault. And he's. And
the little bit that he's in this is good.
Dude, yeah, the first chunk definitely inspired Deadpool, mm-hmm. you know, the movie. And, like, we don't get any of the Deadpool stuff if he didn't have those, like, 5 minutes to show off what he could do with the character.
That's true. So yeah. It's like, in a weird way, it is a good thing that this happened.
Yeah.
Dominic Monaghan was good. Again, he was barely in the movie, though.
Barely in the movie. We're about to talk to him. Talk to him, I wish. Talk about him on Keeper Cancel, but go on.
The guy that played Stryker did pretty good.
I didn't write his name down.
I can't remember his name, but he yeah. Good job. But yeah, no, it's just Will.i.am is the weak point acting-wise here.
Yeah,
and it's because he's like a, it's almost like he's like a celebrity guest in this movie.
Well, that's definitely what it was. Yeah. You know, it's an era where, like, I mean, I say that like it's not happening today, but
still,
like,
happening.
You know, if you're famous enough, you can be in whatever you want. Mm. You want to be in a superhero movie? Sure. Why not? Danny Huston,
yes, that is Stryker. Yep.
And I liked him. The only thing I didn't like about Danny Huston is that he's very tall, and Brian Cox is very short.
Stryker lost a lot of height, huh?
Yeah. And when I say very tall, it's like he's the same height as, like he stands next to Hugh Jackman, though, the same height. Hugh Jackman's like 6'3 or 6'4. Like, he's pretty tall.
I like this Stryker better than the Stryker we got in Days of Future Past, though.
What? I don't remember him in Days of Future Past.
I think he was played by the guy from American Pie? Stifler? Looks like him, at least.
Oh, he's barely in that movie, isn't he?
He's in it a little bit, but yeah.
Oh.
But I think this...
He's
I think
not
Danny
played
Huston's,
by Stifler,
it,
is he?
It looks a lot like him. Some I don't know way. If it's actually him.
Yeah, he's like a short cameo or something. He's very young.
Yeah.
I remember what you're talking about. He's just like a... Yeah.
Yeah, Josh Hellman.
Okay.
That is...
It's not Stifler, though.
No,
is it?
I don't think it... I don't...
I know who you're
it
talking about.
It looks a lot
it,
like
he
him.
He looks
though.
Like him. Yeah, I agree.
Like, quick glance, that looks like him.
Yeah.
I don't think it's him, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He also doesn't look like Brian Cox. You're right. Action is awful. And the thing is, I watched the behind the scenes and I saw a lot of, like, the stuntmen performing.
Action was not good.
They're doing flips and kicks and they're doing all this great wire work and stuff. And it's like, that's fantastic. If the camera doesn't get it right, it's not going to look good. Mm. You know, it doesn't matter how many backflips you do. So, like, props to the stuntmen, but the action is bad. It has bad action movie vibes.
The best
vibes.
Action scene was probably Logan versus Sabretooth at the bar.
Oh, yeah, that was okay. It was pretty short. Again, the early montage with them going through all the wars, fantastic. That's what this whole
that
movie should
cool.
have been.
I wouldn't count that as action, but like...
No, but like, the whole movie should have kind of stuck to that feel.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, costumes. We usually talk about costumes. This is one where, like, they don't do, like, too much.
There's not...
And I get it. It's like an origin thing. There's not like costume heroes in this timeline yet, right? I kind of like the proto Deadpool look from the earlier part, not the later part. Not when he's in his operating pajamas, to quote the producer of the movie. The earlier part where he's a mercenary.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the...
Like where he's just Wade.
He's just Wade. Yeah. He's wearing like a red t-shirt underneath all his armor and he's got like the cross katana straps.
I like that
so
look. Yeah.
He has a proto Deadpool look
mm-hmm.
that eventually
like,
maybe turns into
like
his
Deadpool
costume.
Like you can tell that he's
costume.
Supposed to be Deadpool.
Right, right, right.
Even without the diamonds. Yeah.
I don't love... I mean, I'm back and forth on like, hey, we're going to give Wolverine his outfit. That being said, I just think it's funny that like he wore completely different clothes when he had his memories. And then like when his memories were wiped and he sees himself in like a stranger's clothing, like the old man's son with the big rodeo belt buckle and the boots, you know, and he's like, I guess this is my style. And that's
yeah,
what he wears
very
forever.
Strange. Yeah.
You know, it's like that and a wife beater for the next 25, 30 fucking years.
I'm glad we're finally going to get a Wolverine costume.
I mean, yeah, but like also like, and we talked about this in those other movies, like yeah. I like more down to earth realistic costumes. I don't need them to be like one to one from
like
comics
like,
and cartoons.
He's just wearing a leather jacket.
Yeah, that's fine. And also like he's not always like dressed up in the comics either. Sometimes he's just himself.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's fine.
Oh yeah, we had a Sable cameo appearance.
Keep or cancel.
Sable.
Yeah. Cancel. Next. Keep or cancel. This is a segment of the show where we decide if we pick someone in the movie and we talk about their career and shit and whether they should be kept or canceled. It's just a fun thing, you guys. Let's go. Dominic Monaghan.
Woo!
Look, we're going to talk more about Hugh Jackman later, right? We're going to talk about Ryan Reynolds later.
Talk about Hugh Jackman and Logan?
Yeah,
because who else would we talk about there?
Also the next movie. There's a couple Japanese actors we can probably talk about.
True.
There's like 8 Japanese actors in that movie that are like fairly famous.
Yeah.
So
I've definitely seen a few of them in multiple things. So
I just kind of was like, let's just pick anybody for this. And then I was like, oh, Dominic Monaghan. I really like him.
Not Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, fuck it. Anyway, let's go through his career. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
His acting debut was maybe the most British thing I've ever heard. It was a TV show that ran from 1996 to 1998 called Hetty Wainthrope Investigates.
What the fuck is this?
It was a crime show. It was what they call cozy crime.
Cozy crime.
Meaning like just a comfort TV show where they solve mysteries.
Okay.
And he was like the Watson archetype character.
Okay.
Right? So that ran for a while. 2001, however, Lord of the Rings.
Hey.
Definitely kicked his career off, right?
He's Merry.
He's Merry. Meriadoc Brandybuck, a.k.a. Merry. Have you heard his voice in the last couple of years? Why?
Who? Dominic Monaghan? I heard him in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. Dark Magic. Secrets only the Sith know. Why does his voice change? Is he okay? Look up. Does he have like cancer or something?
Aw.
Because that's happened to me. Not me personally. I'm saying like it's happened where like I see an actor or something and something. And I'm like, what the fuck happened to them? And I look it up and like they had like a horrible disease. Mm-hmm. It's like Selena Gomez. Like I'm watching Only Murders in the Building. And she looks like she had like a lot of plastic surgery done. Her voice is very different. And it's because she has like lupus and cancer. And she's gone through a bunch of treatments and surgeries and shit. And I'm like, God, that's awful.
Yeah.
Oh, but she's good in the show. So anyway, Lord of the Rings, Merry. We love Lord of the Rings. We're Lord of the Rings fans here, yeah, right?
We can't seem to get any of our friends to watch it, but...
Yeah, I'm due for a rewatch.
I am too.
We say that every time.
Though. I know. The thing is, we got to put aside, like 12 hours to do it?
Not all at once. We're going to marathon it.
Okay, we could do one at a time, I guess.
Yeah, they're like 3 to 4 hours. What are you talking about, dude?
Marathoning, it's fun. Have you done that?
I have done marathons before, but like... You're losing a lot of attention if you're marathon.
You do risk that.
Yeah.
I feel like you do absorb more if you space it out a little bit.
So anyway, you like Lord of the Rings.
I love Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Me too. He's great in it. I can never remember if he's Merry.
Merry and Pippin are kind of my favorites.
Yeah. I can never remember if he's Merry or Pippin.
Well, he's definitely Merry because it says it right here.
Right.
And Pippin's the one that sings that song for the Hobbit movie.
No, he sings it in Return of the King.
He also sings it again for the Hobbit movie, though.
Oh, he does? Same song?
Something Goodbye or something?
I don't know. Someone looked that
Philly up. Would know.
Yeah. Anyway, 2004, Lost. I love Lost. I talk about it all the time. You need to watch Lost. He's a main character named Charlie Pace. He's a former...
Oh, something about like Penny's boat, right?
Yes, Penny's boat does happen. he's a main character. He's in it for like 4 seasons. He's like a washed up rock star. They were kind of like a one-hit wonder.
Blake said he's a druggie?
Yeah, he's a druggie.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I kind of walked it back, but
thanks for
whatever.
The spoiler. I don't even know what was spoiled. I haven't seen the show.
Yeah, there you go. sorry to spoil something from fucking 20 years ago. Like, get with it. Lost might be one of the most influential TV shows, period. Like, it showed studios that you can put millions of dollars into a TV show and it'll pay back.
Wasn't the show greenlit on accident?
Yes. It was. They promised they wouldn't do a 2-hour spectacle to start the show, and they did it anyway.
And they were like, oh, fuck. Oh, he sings The Edge of Night in Lord of the Rings, which is part of the poem, part of a poem. In The Hobbit, he sings The Last Goodbye, which is written for the movie. Okay.
I don't remember him in The Hobbit.
He's not
all.
In the movie, like the song's in the credits.
Oh, he sings a song.
Yeah.
In the credits.
The actor sings the song.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Anyway. He's fantastic in Lost. I love him in Lost so much. 2009, he's in a thing called Flash Forward. It was a TV show that ran for a few seasons. Did you watch it?
I think I know what it is. Is that when everybody like blacks out for like a second?
No
or
idea.
Something? I feel like I've seen it, but only like the pilot, and then I did not continue.
Well.
Just one of those network TV things.
Yeah, that's like, exactly what it was, yeah. And that's why it was canceled, because of you. 2009, X-Men Origins, this movie, plays Chris Bradley, a.k.a. Bolt, a.k.a. Maverick.
Not the pilot.
Yeah. The Thing didn't even have his first name in it, by the way. I only found that.
They just call him Bradley.
Yeah, I only found this out by looking up like the mutant on his own, by the way.
Yeah, because I looked him up too, and he has a very, very, very small article. Not even an article. He's like a part of an article that just says other characters.
Yeah. Because he's a minor X-Men character.
I guess he's very minor. Yeah. He's like as minor as El Muerto.
I don't know about that minor. Then he was in some small stuff. Movies called The Day, Soldiers of Fortune, Molly Moon in the Incredible Book of Hypnotism.
Whoa.
Pet, Atomica. Have you heard of any of these movies?
No.
Me neither. But in 2013 through 2016, he was the host of a wildlife documentary series in the UK called Wild Things with Dominic Monaghan.
Okay.
Right? And I kind of want to watch this now. Each hour-long episode follows Monaghan, an avid outdoorsman, didn't know that, as he travels to a new exotic location in search of some of the most dangerous and elusive creatures known to man.
Whoa.
That sounds like a whole lot of fun.
He did this for 3 years?
It was on the BBC.
Hmm. Okay.
And I kind of want to watch it now. 2018, a movie called Mute. Have you seen this movie? Have you heard of it?
I have not seen it or heard of it. I like Duncan Jones, though.
It's a Duncan Jones movie. Yeah, I like Moon a lot.
I like Moon. I liked Warcraft.
I liked Warcraft, okay.
Yeah.
What else did he do? He did another one.
I know Moon was like the big one that he did.
Yeah. Chappie? Who did Chappie? That wasn't him,
I don't
was
think
it?
That was Duncan Jones. That was
the guy.
Neil Blomkamp.
Neil Blomkamp, yeah.
Who does all his movies in South Africa.
Yeah.
District 9 is District what he's 9. Known for.
Yeah. Then he was going to do an alien movie, or did he do an alien movie?
Did he end up doing one?
Did he do that one alien movie?
The one that people didn't like?
Yeah. Now they're making a new one. Maybe. There's a new one. And there's a TV show coming, too. I can't keep up with Alien.
Yeah.
If you don't know, Lost was produced in part by J.J. Abrams, so he has some connections to J.J. Abrams. I'm surprised he's not in more J.J. Abrams things.
I'm surprised he wasn't in, like, Star Trek or anything.
That's what I'm saying. But he was in Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
Almost like to his own detriment, I think.
He was just kind of in the background.
But like he's too famous. Like he's not super famous, but he's too famous to just have one line in Star Wars. Because at that point, like it's supposed to be like, I mean, obviously it's like the most ridiculed scene in maybe all of Star Wars.
Cloning. But, yeah. Dark magic. Yeah. Secrets only the Sith knew.
Exactly.
But somehow like, Palpatine returned.
But you don't just cut to a guy who you have never seen before in the Star Wars universe that you recognize from a million other things like Lord of the Rings and Lost, and you go, where the fuck has he been for two movies?
Why is there a hobbit in Star Wars?
And then, like, you don't see him again. Like, that's literally all he does in the movie. Like, that's a line you give to a pre-established character.
Yeah. Like, he's just like, is he just a resistance scientist? Like, who is he?
But he knows enough about the Sith. And, like, that brings it to question, like, what do regular people know about the Sith? You know what I mean? The Jedi don't know about the Sith.
The Jedi barely know about
the
Sith.
But this guy's like, yeah, only secrets the Sith know. Don't you know that? Don't you know what secrets the Sith knows?
Don't you read ancient Sith?
I do. Give me that dagger.
Maybe he's a historian.
These are secrets only J.J. Abrams knows.
We still don't know how Maz got Luke's lightsaber.
It's a story for another day.
It's been almost 10 years and we still don't know.
So this year he's in a play.
Oh, cool.
He's in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
I love that. I saw the movie. I haven't seen the play ever. But I love the movie with...
I haven't seen the movie. I think I read it in high school.
Has the guy that plays Abomination in it. Why can I not remember his name?
Tim
Roth?
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to say Blake. I was thinking of the other guy.
No, Tim Blake Nelson. No.
I just got really lucky. They're both named Tim.
Tim Roth. Yes, he's in it. And he's great in it.
If you don't know, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead is a play where you see Hamlet from the perspective of the two side characters, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
And I think they end up getting executed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the line Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
It's from Hamlet.
It's actually from Hamlet. Yeah.
I remember because I believe we read both Hamlet and Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead in history history class.
History.
English class.
There you go.
And then we ended up watching the movie Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead also.
Yeah. No, it's a fascinating thing. If you don't know, Lion King is obviously based off Hamlet, and Timon and Pumbaa are the equivalent of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. And then they did Lion King 1.5, which is Lion King from the perspective of Timon and Pumbaa, right. Which is based on Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Except Timon and Pumbaa are not dead.
No, they survived. Don't they? They're in part two. Are they in part two?
Shit, are they? I barely remember part two. Isn't part two where it's like Scar's son shows up or something?
Yeah, and Simba don't like him because
Simba's daughter wants to bang him or something. Aren't they related? Wasn't Scar Simba's uncle?
Well, I guess to an extent, yeah.
Yikes.
It's royalty. They're all inbred, aren't they? He was in a music video. We're back on Dominic Monaghan. Love the Way You Lie. Eminem featuring Rihanna. He plays the boyfriend.
Whose boyfriend? Eminem?
I don't know.
Eminem's
I don't
or Rihanna's?
Fucking I have never seen this music video. I read that. I couldn't believe it. I had no time to look it up. I wrote it down.
So he's just in the music
video. I guess he's, I don't know, is he Rihanna's boyfriend?
I find it weird when people are casted for music videos. It's
that's like it's a very popular song, too.
I know. But it's like, oh, yeah, you don't remember him from that music video? I'm like, I have never looked up, who's that guy sitting there in that music video?
Not since, like, high school when I used to watch music videos in the height of the MTV era.
I guess, yeah.
Anyway, that's all I have on Dominic Monaghan. I'm going to say keep. I really want to watch his Wild Things.
I'll say keep, too. He seems like a cool dude.
Yeah.
He's got a great singing voice, or did have a great singing voice. I guess his vocal cords got damaged recently, Philly said.
Oh, that's really awful. Also, they his band, his character's band in Lost, have a popular song, and I'm pretty sure he recorded it.
Oh, like he actually like sang it?
Yeah, I think it's him and like a band that they hired. Yeah,
that's cool.
Like, it's actually a catchy song, and now maybe I look it up. Maybe you can download it. Maybe it's a full.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on. Into the Phantom Zone. Let's get this over with because I am very sleepy, Birdo. X-Men Origins Wolverine, final thoughts.
Oof. Listen, it had a strong start, but oh my God, did it just drop in quality. And it's a movie that feels like it's both trying to do too much, but it ends up not doing enough at all.
That's a good way of putting
it. Because it's trying to do so much, it ends up doing almost nothing.
Yeah.
We didn't need this movie. We really didn't. The only good thing this movie might have caused is Deadpool, honestly.
I mean, to the extent where,
like in the real world.
Right. Yeah, it's a real world effect because this is not a good Deadpool.
Right. Right.
I mean, the first 5 minutes of it, fine.
Yeah. And it's like, despite me actually liking the first half and thinking that this could have been a really interesting movie, I'm going to say that, it's going to go in the Phantom Zone because it's just, there's not enough to save this for me.
I was torn because it's like, I like the premise. I like prequels. A lot of people might go like, is this a story that needed to be told? And I'm like, maybe not, but like, I like seeing it. Like, I like seeing an origin. I like seeing Wolverine's origin. I think that's a story worth telling.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think this is it. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, if I could split this into two, I would keep the first half and banish the second half into the Phantom Zone. You know, that's not something we're going to do. So it's like, I wish this premise had been turned into a better movie, but like as it stands, like no, like it's, you know, it's a product of rewrites and trying to get a movie out during the writer strike. There's a lot of corners cut. It's messy. You know, it wasn't thoroughly like reworked. It's just, it's all the problems with like Hollywood and the Hollywood system and making movies this way, you know?
Yeah. And this came out, the same year as Iron Man?
Year after, actually.
Year after. Ooh.
Well, again, it's the writer strike and all this, and it's like, I don't know. I would have loved to see a Wolverine origin that played out a lot better. If anything, the montage. The montage was great. And like, the montage itself where, like, you know, you see them, you know, battling through history or whatever.
Yeah.
That's really all the origin you need. You could actually ditch the rest of the movie because it's like, you see the flashbacks in X2. You know?
Yeah, you see the flashbacks in X2, and with this montage, you can see that, you know, Logan is, he lives for battle, but he doesn't necessarily want that.
Yeah.
The only thing this movie added to that was that Sabretooth was his brother.
Yeah, and like...
And this is the only movie where that even matters.
So you don't need it.
So it's like, because we never see him again.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see him in Deadpool 3.
I think there's a rumor that we will.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who they're going to cast, but...
Hey, if it's
the first guy Liev or this guy,
Schreiber, it'd be cool.
You know what Liev Schreiber needs to do? Baelin Skull. Get him to do Baelin Skull.
Honestly?
After Ray Stevenson's death.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. We talked about it. But.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's in the Phantom Zone for me. If anything, just watch the montage. Opening credits montage. That's all you really need to keep. The rest is garbage. So that's it for us, you guys. Next time, we're going to do The Wolverine, where he goes to Japan. We're going to build our way up to Deadpool and Wolverine. So that is available on Disney Plus, along with this film and all X-Men, Marvel, all Marvel stuff is on there.
Should we do the unrated version for The Wolverine, though, if we're going to?
Sure, yeah.
I don't think that one's on Disney Plus.
I mean, we're going to do. You might have to like track it down.
Maybe. You might own it.
I might. Yeah. I got to go check, actually.
You might own it.
But,
I might have to track it down. But
it's just kind of like, it's like the Rogue Cut also for Days of Future Past.
I feel like when we do Days of Future Past, we should do the Rogue Cut.
It's worth mentioning. I like those scenes. I think it's good.
I like the Rogue Cut a lot better.
Yeah, I like it a lot better. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you to that piano dude for our musical intro. Make sure you leave a rating and review on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get this podcast. Did you see the review we got that wanted more Sable episodes? Did I tell you about that?
Yes. No, I think.
There was someone, I don't have it on me, but like, shout out to the guy who left a 5-star review on Apple Podcast, and he's like, more Sable takeovers, please.
No.
And that went straight to her head.
So she's like, oh, so when are we doing, what is the next one, Breaking Dawn?
Yeah, seriously. So anyway, please tell a friend, and thank you so much for telling a friend, tell them about Sable takeovers, I guess. You can support the show on Patreon, where you get access to our outtakes, our news segments, and our second podcast called Where's Mephisto, where we do what, Birdo?
We look for Mephisto in currently streaming television shows. So the latest was Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
I said Airbender. Wow.
You
Airbender.
Did. I was going to just let you fix it, but then you...
I called myself out.
Yeah.
The next show that we'll probably do for that is... I know we were talking about maybe X-Men 97, but
how's that going? Is that almost over yet? Is it halfway? Where are we on that?
I don't know, because I haven't been keeping up with it yet.
Okay.
Invincible Season 2 just finished. I just finished that.
Oh.
That was pretty good.
I'm on my rewatch of After the Last Airbender, the cartoon. When I finish that, I'm going to do Bad Batch.
Oh, yeah. Bad Batch, we're almost done with the season, I think.
Yeah. Is this it? Is it just three seasons and that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I know people are loving it.
Yeah. But yeah, what would be the next thing we do for Where's Mephisto?
I don't know,
then?
Dude. It could be X-Men 97. It could just jump to the next.
Acolyte?
Acolyte's like in a month, I think. So
okay.
We'll see. We'll see what we do. Anyway, guys, if you like the show, you want to hang out with us, you want to be a part of it, we stream these episodes live on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/filmsfrompz. You can hang out with us. You can get called out like our friends have. Billy the J has been here the whole time. He's been giving me a hard time. Blake's Takes is here. Summer came by. Honey Badger was here. Who else was here?
I think it was everybody. That might be it, yeah.
So thank you all for showing up. Also, it's live streamed on X/Twitter and on YouTube. Streamlabs just added functionality to stream on TikTok. I don't know if we're eligible to stream on TikTok. I'm going to have to look into that.
I think
that.
Anybody can stream on TikTok, no?
I mean, I see a bunch of, like, flat earthers with, like, one viewer.
Yeah, if they can do it, why can't
why
we?
Why can't the fuck we
I
do it?
I see weirdos just standing there talking to themselves.
Yeah. It's fucking shit you get. But, I mean, yeah, so I
would... That's something to look into.
That is something to look into. Anyway, if you want to hang out with us, talk to us personally, you can join our Discord server. It's linked below. It's absolutely free. Come by, do that. I said support the show on Patreon. I talked about Twitch and streaming. You can find us on Instagram at Films from the Fandom. Twitter, Films from PZ. TikTok, Films from PZ. Threads, Films from PZ. And other than that, you guys, we'll see you guys next time with The Wolverine. Anything else from you, Berto?
That'll be all from me.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.